everyone, to the latest All Lions Bang the Table podcast. I am the Doc, John Macaroon. One game away. 60 minutes, the Detroit Lions are one complete football game away from appearing in the Super Bowl. I'm shocked. You're shocked. It's been a wild ride over the course of this playoff run for the Detroit Lions. Since 1991, only one playoff victory. This year, 2023, a year in which the Detroit Lions won 12 games, they won two home playoff games in front of a wild scene at Ford Field. The Detroit Lions put together two solid performances and were able to get past the Rams and the Bucks. And now what awaits? The man, arguably the best team in the National Football League. You can argue it's the 49ers, Ravens, Chiefs, and then the Detroit Lions. They're in the mix. They're in the Final Four. The Detroit Lions head out west to Santa Clara to take on the San Francisco 49ers this Sunday evening at 6:30 Eastern Time. The Doc is going to be there flying out Saturday to be part of the festivities, be part of the NFL media circus, and take part and be a witness to this contest. Do I think the Lions have a chance? We'll break it all down today. It was wild. Man, Ford Field, definitely a home field advantage. Dan Campbell has said it. The players have said it. They've acknowledged that playing in that environment really helped the football team out. And Baker Mayfield definitely noticed the hunger, the passion of the fan base. He noticed that the crowd at Ford Field was into it, and you guys were into it nonstop. From the light shows to the cheering of Jared Goff to making it super loud when the Bucs offense was taking the field, the fans really showed out and I feel like really made themselves part of the experience. It's been an amazing ride for the Detroit Lions. The confidence that they must feel to go out to the West Coast and compete for the opportunity to represent the NFC is amazing. 60 minutes away from the Detroit Lions appearing in the Super Bowl. I'm hopeful that the Detroit Lions are going to go out there and put their best foot forward, because then I think the NFL world is going to be in for a treat. Two football teams that mirror each other playing at a high level, I think can produce some quality football and competitiveness. I think this is going to be one of the most competitive football games you're going to see, and I think it's going to be a better game than the Chiefs and the Ravens. In fact, I think that when you look at it, Dan Campbell and what he's been able to deliver, really representative of the city of Detroit. Jared Goff, that young football team, proving everybody wrong, proving haters wrong. We'll talk about that later on as well. I woke up this morning, and you know something's up when you get online, you start checking the news of the day, start reading, doing your hour reading of things in the NFL and the NFC and all that kind of stuff, and your notifications are blowing up. Why? We'll share that later on as well. But what was the scene like at Ford Field the last 2 weeks? My eardrums definitely. Dan Campbell said his eardrums did not get blown out, but my ears were certainly ringing after both games for a long period of time. It was just frenetic, so much energy, the passion. You could sense that the fan base certainly had waited such a long time, decades, to cheer on their football team. And I think the Bucs experience made it so that because the Packers were defeated, the fan base knew that, okay, Sunday's game was in fact going to be the last game at Ford Field for 2023. So in fact, it turned out to be a celebration of the Detroit Lions. And boy, did the fan base let the Detroit Lions know. The Jared Goff chance, making it difficult, making it very challenging for the Bucs offense to be able to effectively do what they needed to do. And then you saw what the impact of getting some turnovers had for the Lions defense. And again, a great story in that Derek Barnes redeemed himself, to his teammates, and to the coaching staff by making it the play. He made the play of the game in terms of the Bucs having the football late with an opportunity, and Derek Barnes ends it with his first career interception. And everybody knows, he said that getting all the messages, getting all of the comments from those of you that reached out to him, maybe some angrily, maybe some in support, but he definitely felt it that when he made the mistake not getting the sack on Dak Prescott that it weighed on him. He even had to get the advice of Alex Anzalone in regards to wondering, okay, it's the first time, tends to be an under-the-radar player, how to handle such a situation. And you recognize, okay, you keep putting your nose to the grindstone and you make the play. And that's what is really Derek Barnes and a lot of the players on the Lions roster. They embody that grittiness where, hey, things are not going to go your way, but you keep fighting, you keep battling, and an opportunity will present itself at a later time. And that's what the coaching staff wants. That's what they want to see in their players, meaning Cam Sutton, a player that's been taking a lot of heat online, still makes plays when needed in certain situations. You know, even though he's going up against the top wide receivers in the National Football League, and he's going to get beat. That's the nature of the business. But in the end, the Lions defense is showing to be something that can still get better and help this football team. When Jared Goff stands in front of reporters and says, hey, credit to Aaron Glenn for putting together a plan that really helped the offense out, getting those extra possessions, getting those turnovers, being physical and aggressive, really helped this football team to secure their second playoff win. And it was a tough game. I think that's where all the experience that the Lions had in 2022 in those close games, even some of those close losses early on, helped this football team to understand what it takes to understand playoff football. Being in those games, being in those tough situations, last year's loss to the Ravens, battling, grinding against tough teams, having some things not happening or going your way, struggling, facing the hottest of hot, burning, passionate fans being against you when you start 2022 1-5. That really helped this football team develop that grit. When Dan Campbell says scarred to perfection, what does that mean? They took it, everybody, the coaching staff, the players, the quarterback, the defensive coordinator, everybody really was facing a heavy amount of scrutiny when you start 2022 1-5. But that doesn't mean they had to waver. They obviously understand that the NFL is a winning business. And in the end, they were able to weather the storm. They stayed the course as an organization, and it worked out. They made some changes. They upgraded. They didn't stay the same as they were in 2022. They upgraded key offensive positions. They upgraded the defense. They tried to make changes, and it paid dividends. That's what a good football team does, is they take serious and hard looks at themselves and try to improve constantly. Even now, some established leaders and veterans who are getting beat out by other individuals that the coaching staff feel are better suited to help the team, certain veterans have to sit. And that's the mark of a good football team, is competition is always the number one factor in practice that determines playing time. And this football team was able to hold on. They held on for a victory against the Buccaneers. And even look, you know something special is going on when the Lions made mistakes. Dan Campbell and the offense, really, when you look at it, head scratcher. They did not bleed the clock when they had the football left with under 2 minutes. Snapping the football with 15 seconds left on the play clock. And then you had, you know, obviously Dan Campbell admits when he's asked those kind of questions, hey, we didn't handle it optimally. That's on me. We snapped the ball too early. In years past, that would have potentially blown up in the Lions' face. The opponent would have called the timeout. They would have made the Lions pay. But Todd Bowles inexcusably just, all right, we lost. Hey, we're done. It's trending that way. They're in field goal range. Todd Bowles is taking a lot of heat for that decision. It's unusual that a coach would leave a timeout in that spot, but that's what he did. He felt like, okay, we want to get off the field as soon as possible. And a blunder on the Lions' part did not cost the football team. In years past, how many times have we watched mistakes or miscues in terms of coaching cost the Lions ultimately? So now the Lions, they win the divisional round. Look at those ratings. Those ratings indicate that the Detroit Lions are becoming America's team. Now, could you imagine that 5 years ago when the Lions were struggling in the Matt Patricia era, coming out of the Jim Caldwell era, you know, just constantly not having a team that was really respected, always kind of in a situation where they're an afterthought, fodder for jokes. You come off of the Caldwell era where you had a lot of blunders late in games, a lot of situations in which you kind of felt like, okay, with Stafford and Caldwell, there's maybe only a ceiling you can reach. And then they go to Matt Patricia and he becomes, you know, a laughingstock because he can't coach defense. And the Lions in the fourth quarter implode time after time. There was no hope there. Hope was lost pretty quickly in the Patricia era. Now you recognize millions of people are adopting the Detroit Lions and are supporting the team. Why? Because you have a head coach in Dan Campbell that embodies everything that I think people would want to support. A former NFL player, but was not a superstar, not a first-round pick, somebody that had to scratch and claw to stay on rosters and to get any attention from the offensive coordinator to get footballs thrown to him, had to scratch and claw and be a great teammate and do the little things. And now he becomes a head coach where day one, he puts himself out there saying things that not many people would say publicly on day one. Really, the kneecaps speech, the kneecap biting that he talked about. Yes, it was only 30 seconds in nearly 40-minute talk that he had with the media, but it resonated. And I think that people should embrace it and keep playing it because it set the tone for what this football team was. And the last sentence was, as many times as you knock us down, we'll get back up and eventually we'll be the last one standing. That's all you really need to know. The rest of it was setting the tone for the organization, the culture, what he wanted. But I thought that that little clip that you see, that 30-second clip, embodies what the Lions are. Tough, gritty football team, takes a beating, takes licks, and comes back. And that's something that the NFL world can gravitate towards. And obviously, the Detroit Lions being the underdogs, not ever having success, seeing the fan base screaming through the television, everybody was like, whoa, opponents, the NFL world, people coming in, talking about just what an atmosphere has been created down at Ford Field with this football team. It's a likable group. It's a group that is not heralded. I think Alex Anzalone said that we play a brand of football that not many are willing to try and do because of the fact we don't have true superstars. We don't have all the name brand players that everybody gravitates towards. They're starting to get that way. But this football team is starting to resonate, not only in Detroit, where they're supposed to, but they're starting to resonate with the country, who's rooting, I think, predominantly for the Lions and Chiefs. I think that that football game would probably be the ideal situation. I would take Lions and Ravens as well, but I think, you know, for selfish reasons, I think the Ravens would pose a lot more challenges, unique challenges to the Lions defense than Patrick Mahomes would. And the Lions have already seen Patrick Mahomes and they've done their preparation on them. So I think that would be really storybook to start the year, the magical year with the Chiefs on the road, and then finish the year with the Chiefs in Vegas at Allegiant Stadium. Oh, that'd be special. That's what I'd like, you know. So now we sit here and the Detroit Lions are going on the road out west to take on the 49ers. Do they have a realistic chance to win this football game? Absolutely. But it's going to take a complete clean football game and the Lions' best game. You're not going to be able to just march in there and just go in and be sloppy and have mistakes. And you're not going to just be able to really out-talent the San Francisco 49ers. It's going to need to be some work. There's going to need to be a complete, obvious execution for everything going on with this football game. And it's going to be interesting to see. I think that when you look at this situation with this game, my confidence level is high that the Lions are going to play well. And I think that when you look at this game, it's going to really be dictated by this Detroit Lions defense. And here's why. Trust in the offense has been earned. When you realize that this football team has been battle-tested offensively. The injury of Jonah Jackson, I'm wondering how much is going to impact the Detroit Lions. When you look at it, obviously it's going to impact the run game, pass protection as well. We all know how key it is to keep Jared Goff upright. We know that Jared Goff is such a completely different quarterback when he has time to make his primary reads, to survey the defense, and to make the throw. Under pressure, it's just really tough. And for any quarterback, but for sure, Jared Goff, under pressure, just not the same, and it just doesn't help the situation when you have a key member of the offensive line hurt. Frank Ragnow also battling and grinding. What's that going to look like this week? So there will be question marks. But offensively, you realize, man, the talent's there, that Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jameson Williams, you realize that they added Zach Ertz. You're not sure what you're going to get with him. But Sam Laporta, another week away from now, 3 weeks out from the hyperextended knee situation, you expect him to shine. And obviously, got to be happy. I think that Brad Holmes has got to be very happy that Jahmyr Gibbs is shutting up all the draft nitpicks and those that are the draft experts who talked about positional value and really derailed the early momentum of the Lions draft by just coming out and just really, in my mind, I thought way too soon judging the efficacy or the decisions that Brad Holmes was making, picking a running back and a linebacker in early rounds in the draft, really upset a lot of people. So it's just going to be a situation. And I think that obviously, clearly, Jahmyr Gibbs is shining now, emerging right before our eyes. And to see what he's been able to do, explosive runs, his elusiveness, his speed, man, it makes this offense really, really something that can really pose challenges for opposing defenses. But you look at these two teams, and they mirror each other in terms of how they're built, in terms of really elite defensive ends, running backs that can be elusive and explosive, key wide receivers. It's going to be interesting. I do believe that Deebo Samuel will suit up, but we'll see what level of efficacy he's going to have, being that he's dealing with a shoulder injury. So what's that shoulder going to look like? We'll see. But this football team, the Detroit Lions, are going to compete offensively. They're going to score points. Jared Goff, ultimate comfort. The West Coast guy played the 49ers a ton, understand Levi's Stadium, and understands exactly what it's going to be like. Friends and family will be there. He'll be supremely comfortable playing the 49ers. But boy, you look at that 49ers defense. Whew, Nick Bosa, the linebackers that fly around. You recognize you can't make mistakes. If the Lions got to just continue to execute like they have been, very clean, very efficient. And I think that you can't have the third quarter lulls that you've had throughout the year. You got to keep the pedal to the metal all 60 minutes. Now, the key to, in my mind, for this game is the defense. Is, look, what do you think Aaron Glenn is showing his defense right away in his first meeting of the week? A young Brock Purdy that struggled a little bit in his first playoff game. Struggled a little bit with a little bit of nerves, some control issues. Kind of had some tosses there that he'd like back. I think that the Lions can take advantage of the inexperience of Brock Purdy with some disguises, with some blitz packages, with the pressure that they've been bringing with the Fatu Melifonwu and Aiden Hutchinson from the interior as well with John Kaminsky and Ali McNeil. The veteran Tyson Alualu also as well in the mix. I think this defense, if they continue to play at the level that they have, is going to make it very tough for Brock Purdy. This is one of those games, man. It's going to be back and forth, another close game. I think this one could be low scoring in the neighborhood of 17-16, 20-17. And I think that the defenses are going to dictate. They're going to try their absolute best to establish their dominance, make some plays, and limit each other, limit the opposing offense to field goals. It's going to be a battle. It's going to be another 60-minute grind. But I think this is one of those situations in which Lions get the ball, they have an opportunity to close it out, and they do. I think the Lions are going to win this one. And when you look at the momentum that the Lions have, the confidence that this football team has to have, what would preclude them from going? I think this football team is going to play clean. They're going to have their best effort. They're going to understand the moment. They're not going to be, look, they're one of the best road teams. I think the support from the traveling fans in Detroit are going to be is something to behold. It might, you know, the 49ers have in the past iced out the Packers, and they were definitely a fan base that supports their team. But Lions fans will find a way. They'll find their way out to the Bay to make their presence known. And I think the Lions football team in the end will make the plays. A hungry CD Deuce, a hungry Kirby Joseph, a hungry Fatu Melifanu, Aiden Hutchinson, young players like Derek Barnes now who got to be riding high after making a critical play. This football team is poised to do it. This football team is going to the Super Bowl. I have the feeling. I think that when you recognize a football team that is going out there to not only play for each other, but play for the city, to change the narrative, to change an entire culture, why would it stop now? Yes, it's going to be challenging. Yes, Brock Purdy and Kyle Shanahan are going to use that turbo motion to confuse the heck out of the Lions defense, but the Lions will figure it out eventually. Eventually, the Lions will be the last one standing. And that's been the mantra from day one from Dan Campbell. We're 3 years in, and this organization, this regime, has really surpassed the timeline of having an opportunity to win it all. The time is now. And this football team, when Dan Campbell says, do you realize what you guys are doing? And they do recognize, they are aware that if they play their football, if the Detroit Lions play their brand of football, limit mistakes, execute, get some turnovers, capitalize in key moments, score some touchdowns, all things that good football teams are able to do. Aiden Hutchinson, sacking the quarterback, getting to the quarterback with consistent pressure. You got Fatu Melifanu, timely blitzes, timely efforts to get to the quarterback. Rebounding defensively when big plays happen to the secondary. Rebounding nicely, not giving up touchdowns, but forcing the opponent into field goals. Brock Purdy will feel the pressure. He'll recognize he's in for a dogfight pretty early on, facing the Detroit Lions. And I think that the fans at Ford Field that are going to be at the watch party are going to have a lot of reasons to celebrate, a lot of good plays. And boy, could you imagine next Sunday evening celebrating the Detroit Lions being in the Super Bowl with a week off, a week to talk about the Detroit Lions and what they've done and how they've built it and all the press that could emerge? My goodness. And it's, you know, with my last 5-6 minutes here to bring back to and to go back to what I was talking about, woke up to a bunch of notifications. Somebody, naturally, you understand that there are sentinel moments in this rebuild. And one of those moments was owner Sheila Hemp. Last year, the team's 1-5. Heat's hot. It's a winning business. The football business is a winning business. And coaches don't get to go 3-13-1 and then 2-15. It doesn't work like that. Had Dan Campbell not turned it around in the second half of the year, we'd be having different conversations. Sheila Hemp stands in front of the media. She feels the heat. 1-5. She's getting told, okay, the fan base is not happy. The losses are piling up. Yeah, the losses were close and competitive, and the team looked like a team that could turn the corner. It wasn't, hope was not all lost. But she stood in front of the media and took a couple questions, about 5 minutes. And I had asked her, why are you confident that Dan Campbell is the right coach? Are you still confident that Dan Campbell is the right coach to lead this organization right now? You see around the league and other coaches are having some success. The Giants last year eventually did win a playoff game. And the Lions last year were struggling. And she said, can't speak to the others' organizations. I don't know what they got going on, but I can tell you that I trust the process that we went through, and I trust our leadership. She trusts Brad Holmes. She trusts Dan Campbell. Proverbial vote of confidence. That was a good thing. So people caught wind of that, and I like the new trend of adding the words from the reporter's question so you know exactly what was asked. It was myself. I asked the question directly. And right then and there, after she's done, okay, we're done, Sheila, and then she walks off. So I had thought for a minute that she was going to talk longer, so I thought that my question just ended the presser, but you know, after talking to others, no, I think the intention was to have her just make her statement of support and keep it moving, not to get barraged with questions. But she can't give a vote of confidence to Dan Campbell if somebody doesn't ask, are you confident in Dan Campbell? Listen, guys, you know, it would be easy for me to just carry the Lions' water and support everything that they do. Dan Campbell, I support him. Dan, the team signing Zach Ertz, it's all great. The team doing this, it's all great. The team benching Tracy Walker, that's all great. The easiest thing for me to do would be to support unilaterally everything that they do. And everybody would stay off my back. Nobody would comment. But that's not what I want to do. That's not what the job is. The job is to ask the key questions that need to be addressed at the time. Now, you can go back in hindsight and pick apart and have no problem with that. I have no problem standing up for the questions that I asked and why I asked it. And I think that that's the job, is to ask the team questions that fans want to know about or that are relevant and important at the time. Okay, so I don't have the benefit of hindsight. I can't look to the future and guarantee that the Lions were going to be successful. All I can do is in that moment, team is 1-5. I ask the direct question, why are you confident, or are you confident still in the head coach that you've hired? And I truly believe they do respect that, that they wouldn't allow me there if they didn't think that there was a purpose to asking those questions. And I'm one of the people that will stand up. I don't have no problem. I think you guys have caught on that I tend to tweet out the questions that I do ask, and I post, we like that question. It's in jest. It's for fun. Obviously, it's a stressful job, but I don't take back the tough questions that you ask. You have to ask them. You have to be in a situation in which when the owner of the team is coming out to deliver a message, you have to ask the poignant question. I've had a couple opportunities to ask and gotten information. And that's the way I wanted to conduct myself. And that's the reason I've had success, is that I think the people that have supported the Detroit Sports Podcast and All Lions understand what we're about, that there's a certain tone of question that should be asked at a certain time. And I have no problem with receipts. I think that when you're in this position, you have to, if you're doing a podcast on a daily basis, or you're putting out content on a daily basis, you have to be able to say something. You have to be able to resonate with the people that are interacting with you. Otherwise, it's really a boring experience. If I just came out every single day and was like, Lions are winning the Super Bowl every single year, Lions are getting to the playoffs 10-7 every single year. No, there were some years I didn't feel like it was going to be 10-7. I felt like it was going to be a rough situation. There are times where the whole world thought the Lions were going to win and they were dealing with injuries, and I picked them to lose. And that's what happened. And I think that's why you support the Detroit Sports Podcast and All Lions, is that you recognize that we try to bring you what we're thinking at the time based on facts and based on our opinions. And that's why we're at this point. That's why you've supported our project. And that's why you can always find me. I'm accountable. I'll answer your questions. If you say, hey, who asked it? I'll tell you, it was me. I asked that question to Sheila. She answered it. And I think it was a sentinel moment. One final thing before I get out of here. George Lopez first broke the curse of Bobby Lane. Check our Twitter page at Detroit Podcast. Not Omaha Productions, not Jeff Bridges, not Peyton Manning. It was George Lopez. Check out the timeline back in 2000. And I think it was 2018, 19. He did it first. He went out to Detroit in the city and held a ceremony to break the curse of Bobby Lane. And television, I know, has the propensity to copy some things that were tried before. And they did it at Ford Field. Well, George Lopez did it in Detroit. The curse of Bobby Lane was already broken before Omaha Productions did it. And I can share that because I was part of it. I was there. I was in the situation. I'm holding up a sign so you can laugh and joke, and kind of is a funny story on our end, like an inside joke, that something we did got credit. So it's an interesting time for the Detroit Lions, and you recognize it's a good football team, and it's a time now, an era of Detroit Lions football that everybody can be proud of. So it's an unbelievable time. I truly believe the Lions are going to be experiencing something that they've never done before. They're going to be NFC champions, and they're going to win. They're going to defeat the 49ers and really give fans a lot to be proud of. Thanks, everybody. My time's up, and I'm appreciative of everybody that supported the All Lions podcast. More content to come. Make sure you stick with All Lions by visiting si.com/NFL/Lions as we bring you coverage from the West Coast this week. I'm the Doc, John Macaroon. Thanks, everybody, for downloading.